It's always a joy to be home and to share the Word of God with the saints in this house. Every time we hear the Word of God, there's a reason for it. One thing I have come to know through these years of ministry is that the Word of God comes to a people, and those who receive it by faith are the ones who are the true recipients of that word. God can say a lot of things, and we can all shout hallelujah for what has been said, but if you don't receive it by faith, if you don't connect with it by faith, it will never happen for you. You'll just be a bystander watching other people experience what God said. May that not be your experience this day in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, how do we receive the Word of God? We receive it in an atmosphere where love is. You've got to have love in your heart to be able to receive the Word of God, for the Word of God to work in your life. Faith, work it by love. So you can hear a lot of good stuff and be excited about it, but if there is no residence of love, because God only stays where love is. Do you know that? Go read John 17. And while you're reading through John 17, slow down, don't rush, and you'll find out that truth. God stays where love is. God does not stay where love is not. God stays where love is. And that's why everything you do must have the foundation of love. Do you understand? This might not go across too well, but how many of you have had Ginny cake before? Ginny's cake? No? You've not had Ginny's cake? Ginny, yeah, you had it. Most Ginny cake has a foundation of cookie-like. If it doesn't have that foundation, that cookie-like foundation, it might look like Ginny's, but it's not. You gotta have a foundation of love. If the foundation of love is not there, it's not real. Whatever it is that you think you've got cannot stay. This is not the message, but God I'm just flowing with what God is saying right now. This is not part of what I was going to talk about at all. If you want lasting experience in the goodness of God, that doesn't turn out to be a mirage, I have a foundation of love. Be tender-hearted, be kind, not embracing that which will cause you to be bitter. Accept nothing that will cause you to be offended. You want the blessing of God to come and stay and abide and continue in your life? You cannot allow anything to generate offense in your life. You receive offenses in your life, you're done. You understand? Done. I don't care what they did, what they said, how they acted or did not act. Don't accept an offense. The devil will create an offense in you so that you don't receive permanence in what God is giving to you. That includes everything. Your salvation. If you get offended with God, you will lose it. If you get offended with people and embrace bitterness and strife rather than give forgiveness, God only forgives you as you forgive those. Do you understand? Somebody say, I will never allow the spirit of offense in my life. I refuse it. I reject it right now. Nothing is going to cause me to be bitter. Don't do it. You got money? It will fly away if you allow offense in your life. You lose it. Nothing can last when there is offense. When there's no love. Love is the glue that captures everything that God has for you and keeps it for you. If I say nothing else today, we can go home. But don't you ever forget what I just said. I don't know why God, you know, he has something else that he will want me to talk about, but he led me in this path and I'm flowing with it. Bow your heads. That includes those of you listening online. Well, I don't see you. But if you hear this morning and you say, you know, Pastor, that word is for me. There are things that are happening in my life that have caused me to begin to get offended. And I want to divorce myself from that thing right now. I want you to stand in agreement with me so I break free from that spirit of offense so I can receive everything God has for me and I can walk in that fullness. While all heads are bowed, I don't want anybody looking around. If I see your eyeball, that means you're looking. When I say all eyes closed, I mean all eyes closed. Do you understand English? I said all eyes closed. I'm talking to you. Close your eyes. Don't want to close your eyes? You stay there. The spirit of disobedience creates problems. People have problems in their lives and they don't understand. Just a simple word, close your eyes. It doesn't matter whether it means anything. Just the very fact that I said, close your eyes. Now, if you hear and there's bitterness, there's strife, there's anger, there's whatever, and you want to get rid of it, raise your hand while all eyes are closed. Okay. I see those hands. Put it down. Put it down. Once you raise it, I'll see it. Then put it down. I'm going to ask one more time, just in case I missed anybody. Raise it. Raise that hand. Want me to pray with you? I see that hand. I see that. I see that. I see that. Hallelujah. Father God, based on your directives, I declare this day that every son and every daughter in this house that have acknowledged that there is something off and they want it corrected. And Lord, oh God, that there will be an extension of your hand of mercy. And Lord, oh God, that you will cleanse by your sanctifying word. Sanctify your people by your truth. Your truth is your word. Sanctify, separate these sons, these daughters, from every spirit of offense, every spirit of strife. For your word says, O God, where strife is, there is every evil work. Lord, O God, let there be a removal of your children from that strife-filled situation to a place that is grace with the presence of your peace. I speak your commanded word now, and I declare wholeness for everyone that has acknowledged your word this day, and in the spirit of wisdom, declare this day, I am free. In Jesus' mighty name. Let every offense in your relationship, in your marriage, be eradicated now. Let every trigger point that the enemy has used to generate strife around you be eradicated now. In Jesus' name, let there be a new beginning, a fresh start. Blessed be the name of the living God. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, I call it so done. I call it so done. Father, affirm it, because we declare this so in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. I'm going to share with you from a very interesting book. This book of the scripture is the one book where the name of God is not mentioned once, but the presence of God is very, very present. It tells us something, that it's not how many times you call God or the name of Jesus that makes the relevance of that name practical, relevant, effective in our lives. It's not how many times we quote the scriptures and say John 3 this, and or Romans 10 this, or Mark 6 this, that causes whatever it is that we say have impetus. We should be able to live life without saying one religious statement and captivate the hearts of people, not because we quoted verses, but because they see the glorious light of God's life in us, and they say, there is something different about you. What is it? A man of God once said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I think that's deep. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. In other words, preach it at all times without using words, but if you have to say something, then you can say, has it gotten to this now? That we have to use words? No. The book of Esther is that kind of a book. If I spent all year preaching twice every Sunday, once on Friday, once on Wednesday, which are regular service times, which will be about 200 plus times, I will not have gone past half of the book. That's how much information we have in the book of Esther. Nuggets. Do you understand? Nuggets? Yeah, nuggets. So let's get started. The word of God says in verse 1, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done. Oh, wow. We could go on for months on that one. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti. You know what that tells me? It tells me that when you are upset, you don't remember nothing. He was appeased. Then he remembered Vashti. He remembered the reason why he was upset in the first place. Because while he was busy, angry, he was knocking out everybody, every situation, everything was wrong. But he didn't know what was really wrong, why he was so upset. So many people are so upset about too many things and do not know why they are really upset. Ahasuerus was filled with wrath. And when his wrath was appeased, he remembered the reason why he was upset in the first place. There are too many things in our lives that are stopping us from dealing with the real issues. The real issues. What is the bottom line? Why is this happening? You don't know. So you kick your cat. You come into the house. It's like a whirlwind just hit. A tornado, hurricane came into the house. Nobody knows why you're upset. You don't even know why you're upset. That's the life of so many people. Filled with rage, angry, upset, just raging, but they don't know why. The Bible says, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, when his wrath was calmed down, he remembered Vashti. And what she had done, and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan, the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keep of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. The story is about Vashti. Vashti is the queen of Ahasuerus or Xerxes. And he was so proud of this wife and intended to showcase her to all his friends. And, you know, he had this great party, and he wanted her to come and just show herself. But Vashti was the first feminist. And Vashti said, not on your life, Buster. I'm not coming. And then we had the first manifestations of the male chauvinist. They said, Ahasuerus, we cannot have this. You cannot be allowing this woman to be mouthing off and not obeying you. Because when we get home and our wives find out that this woman got away with it, our wives will go on strike too. We can't be having this. So you got to get rid of this woman. You got to get rid of her. You got to get rid of this woman. We can't have this kind of spirit running amok in our midst. So the meetings of the male chauvinists was gathered, and they decided what they were going to do. What they were going to do was get rid of Vashti. But you know the interesting thing about this? Oh, are you ready? God was in it. So what do you mean God was in it? Oh, God was in this. God was right in the dead center of what was happening. Because here were the Israelites. And the Bible tells us, and I'm going to read, I'm trying to push a lot of information into your spirit all so quickly. But I will want you to go and read through the book yourself also. God saw something that was about to happen. It had not happened yet, but God saw it. And the way for God to solve this problem that was coming, this old, old problem, you say, what old, old problem? The old, old problem is connected to a man called Haman, the Agagite. And it's connected to a man called Mordecai. Mordecai is the son of Kish, the Benjamite. Who is Kish and the Benjamite? Well, Kish is the father of King Saul. The Benjamite. And King Saul was assigned to wipe out a group of people, the Amalekites, and their king was Agag. Are you with me? So here is Haman the Agagite, connected in line to the Agagite, Amalekite king. And here is Mordecai, who comes from the same family as Saul, who started the problem for them and wiped them out. Are you with me so far? God was in control. Here is Mordecai, and here is Haman. They're going to clash. But if he doesn't solve this problem before the problem starts, Israel will be wiped out. So Vashti gets into this mess, and they said, let's get some people, other women, virgins, that we can get ready for you, Xerxes or Ahasuerus, and you choose whatever you want. The one that's going to replace Vashti. So he agreed. And while this was happening, the Bible tells us that Mordecai had a niece. It says in verse 5, now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jer, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Someone say a Benjamite. Someone say the son of Kish. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. Real quickly, 1 Samuel 9, verse 1. I want to establish something that I've already declared to you. It says, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was what? Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorat, the son of Afia, a Benjamite, a mighty man of what? Power. Verse 3. It says, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. Now, what I'm trying to establish to you is the fact that Kish and Saul are connected. Amen? Let's look at chapter 10, verse 11. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that is come unto the son of what? Kish. Is Saul also among the prophets? Verse 21. I'm trying to make the connection so that you see what I, you know, confirm within you what has been said here. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. It's a very interesting passage of scripture, because the Bible tells us that he could not be found because he was hiding behind this stuff. So we know Benjamin, we know Kish, we know Saul. Saul is the one that is sent out to wipe out the Amalekites. You remember this now? Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. That's where all of that came from. It says, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah. Hadassah is the Jewish name of Esther. That is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful. There's something about that. The Bible spends time to tell us about the beauty of this woman. She was fair and beautiful. She was curvaceous. And you know, when you are beautiful, people are attracted to you. So today I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that people will see beauty on your life and be attracted to you in Jesus' mighty name. You say, how is that possible? You mean as ugly as I am, something can change me and I can become beautiful? Yes. I've seen the ugliest men married to the most beautiful women, and I wonder, I start scratching my head and saying, what happened? What was in her eyes? When are your eyes going to ever get open so you can see? Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm not trying to be funny. It's the truth. Haven't you seen this before? Wow. I say, Lord God, have mercy. This must have happened at night. No, this is not a daytime problem at all. But God can put beauty on your life, and people can see what they need to see. Of all the children, Hadassah is chosen by Mordecai. And he raises her up. The father and the mother are dead. There is no chance for her to become this special person. The problems in her life have counted her out. But I say to you today, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your past will not ruin your future. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare this day by the authority of the word of God, that the God who elevates will elevate you. God will remember you. God will fight for you. God will promote you. God will bring you to your place of divine honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pronounce it over your life. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Father and mother dead. How is she going to ever make it? But God picked her. Some say, God pick me. God choose me for your divine purpose. Hallelujah. So it was. This woman that did not have a future is now chosen by Mordecai. She did not have the audacity to apply for this position. But Mordecai applied for her, filled out the application for her, so that she can be part of this pageantry. This woman, a Jewess, is not going to be part of this that is being put together, but she did not know it. I'm reminded of the fact that many years ago, just graduated from high school and was working this car company. And the only reason I got the job was not because I was qualified for it. The only reason I got the job was because my father knew somebody who knew somebody. And the manager of that particular automobile parts department was from my tribe, knew my father, and it gave me a position. I knew nothing about parts. Still don't know nothing about parts. I think I was the worst employee they had, but I had a job. Until the guy who knew my father, I don't know what happened to him, left the position, and some guy came into the position and found out I knew nothing about it and was the worst boss I've ever had. That man made my life miserable. Oh my God, I was scared to go to work. It's like the Bible said, Pharaoh that did not know Joseph came to power, and that was the rest of the story. My God, did I ever have problems? But while all of that was happening, I didn't tell my father how bad things were at my workplace. But my father had filled out a form for me to go to a teacher training college. And one day he calls me in and says, congratulations, you've been admitted. I said, admitted for what? I didn't apply for anything. He said, you're going to Nana College. I said, what? He said, you're going to Nana College. I said, do you mean Nana teaching? Where teachers go? He said, yes. If I could swear, I could have sworn. But your father is talking to you, I couldn't swear. Oh my God. A teacher training college, that's for old people. Not for me. I'm a young man. I can't be going to a teacher training college. Yes, you are. So to the teacher training college I went. I didn't fill the application. My father filled the application. At the same time that was happening, and I was being dispatched to Nana teacher training college, Mama was supposed to go to London, but things fell apart, and the uncle filled out an application. She didn't fill the application. Her uncle filled the application. And she got the same treatment like I got. You're going to Nana Teacher Training College. I cannot tell her story, but long story short, we ended up in the same place. God was working it out. So I say to you today in the name of Jesus Christ, somebody's filling up an application for you to move you into your place of destiny. Somebody shout hallelujah. God is working on your behalf. God was doing that for Vashti. Mordecai was working it out, but Mordecai did not know that God was working out something for him too. So it was. The Bible tells us that one day, she gets to be part of this team of people. And Bible says, so it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the courtside of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. Haggai simply means a eunuch. And she is placed in the care of this eunuch. But the Bible says, and the maiden, meaning Esther, pleased him. And she obtained kindness of him. She pleased him and she obtained kindness of him. Haggai saw Esther and says, oh, that's a special one. She's beautiful. And she found favor in the sight of Haggai, the eunuch. And the Bible says, and he speedily gave her her things for purification. So I say, and she speedily gave her things for purification. When you find favor, things begin to accelerate for you. Hallelujah. I pronounce over your life supernatural acceleration this day because you have received favor of the Lord. In Jesus' name, receive it now. Some say, I receive supernatural acceleration. She received supernatural acceleration and she received supernatural treatment, preference, preferred treatment. She received everything that she needed for her purification speedily. And the Word of God says, with such things as belonged to her, with such things as what? Belonged to her. So I say, with such things as belonged to her. Now don't just read through that so quickly and lose the point. Because if she, this Jewish girl, is coming to the king's palace or coming to the place where those who are going to be part of the palace system came to, what stuff did she have that will match up? You know, there are certain things that belong to you that you don't know. Yes. I said, there are certain things that belong to you that you don't know. And today, in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever belongs to you must come to you now in Jesus' name. I don't care where it's hiding. It must come now. I said it must come now. I said it must come now. I said it must come now. Whatever belongs to her and her maids, they're given to her. Such things that belong to her and seven maidens which were meet to be given her, which were the right things to give to her out of the king's house. Where did it come from? Out of what? The king's house. Not from Esther's house. Hello? Not from Esther's house. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This mountain is now removed. This mountain is now removed. This mountain is now removed. By my spirit, says the Lord. It's not what you bring. It's what belongs to you that's coming from the palace. Hallelujah. God has greater, better intentions for you. But intentions are not just going to remain in the sphere of intentions. They are going to be manifestations in the name of Jesus Christ. Let there be manifestations of the glory of God. Let the belongings of God come into your place, into your life, into your family, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible says, as belonged to her and seven maidens, the company that you attach yourself to determines what's going to happen in your life. Yes. When God blesses the one that God has chosen and established in your life, the one that you are connected with, whatever happens to them happens to you. Glory be to God. I said, whatever happens to the one that you are connected to must happen to you. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? The seven maidens also received it. And the Bible says, out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. The best what? Place. The best what? Place of the house of the women. So within the house, there was the house. Within the room, there was a room. Oh, you don't know what I'm talking about. When you pay economy, you know, and you're sitting way by the caboose, by the latrine, by the toilet in the back, you don't know what first class looks like. It's the same plane. You took off at the same time. You will land at the same time. But child of God, you're not in the same plane. Because somebody's eating filet mignon over here with nice plate, has nice dessert, nice, good, nice cutlery. And over here you have aluminum foil at the back over here with plastic cup and plastic knife. You don't know life. You don't know nothing. There's a room within a room. Hallelujah. You go and you see a hotel, say, oh, that's a nice hotel. And you go into your room, it's one little room. It's there. It has a bed, a desk, a phone. It's like the upper room that was built for the prophet. Just a bed and a table. You're in the same hotel. And then you step into another person's room that is in the same hotel, and your mouth wants to hit the floor. You have a little dingy space like this, and the person has rooms upon rooms. There's a living spot. They have three showers. What do they need three showers for? They have two living rooms better than your house. They have grand piano in there. You're in the same hotel? That's what happened here. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. They were in the same building. Oh, but there was a building in the building. Do you understand? I say in the name of Jesus Christ that you will receive the preferred place. That you will step into a place, and when people come where you are, their mouths will drop and say, oh, ooh la la. Filled with envy and everything else, and they cannot help themselves. Because the blessing of the Lord is upon your life. In the house of the righteous, there's wealth, there's riches, there's glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. She was getting prepared for the place God was taking her to. Favor. Somebody say favor. Favor is not fair. No, it's not. The Bible says Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with man. I received the favor of God. But I thank God for the favor of men. Amen. Amen. When you have favor, people will fight for you. They will stand for you. They will open doors for you. The good news will go ahead of you before you even arrive. But child of God, let me tell you something. as special as favor is. And as present as favor is to bring you into a place of supernatural access, acceleration, increase, preference, so also can disfavor bring much pain into your life. Favor is like a dove. It doesn't want nonsense. Never abuse favor. Never abuse access, because favor gives you access. And when you have access, don't abuse it. Child of God, do you understand? Yes. Never abuse access that's been granted you. Because let me tell you something. When you lose access, when you lose favor, you don't even know it. You only experience it. Nobody who has lost favor was ever told you have lost favor. The person who granted you the favor just steps away from your life. You got cut off like a rose cut off. You're still blooming, but you're dead. Yes. Do you understand? Yes. You're dead. You're finished. But you still think you're alive. Never abuse it. When you've been given access, never abuse it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yes. You're a fool when you abuse access. How do you abuse access? You abuse access when you start thinking you know better than the one who gave you access. You're finished. You're dead wood. You're about to be consumed and you don't know it. Don't get too big for your britches. Hello? You understand? Humility is a powerful force. Humility will cause you to continue to have access. Humility will continue to cause you to have access. If with your mouth you start talking foolishness, you will lose access and you will lose favor. Don't do it at your workplace. Don't do it with your relationships. Listen, as quickly as favor comes on you, so quickly can favor leave you. Please, child of God, learn that. She and her mates received the preferred preference place. And then they had to go through 12 months of purification. 6 months being treated with spices. 12, he says, now when every maid's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. So why all of that? Well, because the smell of the poverty had to be eradicated. Hello? Say, God, purify me. Let me not have the smell of poverty in my life. Hallelujah. You know, it's a strange thing. If anyone who's been in North America, let's say for about a year, goes back to a place like Nigeria, you go back and you even dress with all the outfits like a Nigerian, and you step into the marketplace, they will recognize you that you are not from there. Nigerians, am I saying the truth? Mm-hmm. It takes 12 months to change you completely. That where you used to be, when you step back there, you will not smell the same way. If you've been out for 12 months and you're still the same, something is wrong. So they purified 6 months. The oil of myrrh. What is the idea? You see, out of the myrrh, oil is coming forth. The idea is this, that you recognize the change that comes about through crushing. You have olives. You got to crush them for it to release its oil, for it to release its fragrance. You see, while they were there, these other women were just saying oil and perfume. But there was a woman there called Hadassah, Esther, that was seeing beyond what they were seeing. She was saying that you needed to be crushed to produce something better. What is in me that needs to be eradicated so that I can be the right person for the king? Don't just live life in an uneventful way without understanding your environment, understanding what's happening around you. Embrace what's happening around you with a spirit of understanding. God, this thing that I am experiencing right now, what am I supposed to learn from it? You're supposed to learn every day from every experience. There's a lesson to be learned, or else you repeat the same old mistakes. Is somebody listening? Learn. Learning is not a bad thing. Stupid, that's a bad thing. Stupid means that you are filled with stupor and you're not recognizing whatever it is that's happening around you. Is somebody listening? I said this morning, don't allow yourself to be offended. Did I not? Why did God ask me to say that? Because he knew that right here in this service, somebody would take offense and not learn, and not experience all that God has for them. Let me wrap this up. I'm not even close to being finished. One of the things that Mordecai told Esther was this: don't tell anybody from where you came from. Don't tell anybody. And the Bible says that Esther obeyed Mordecai and didn't tell anyone which family or which tribe or which country she came from. She kept it, her mouth shut. Now, do you want to hear the rest of the story and the lessons to be learned? Then I'm going to have to continue tonight. So I'm going to encourage you to be here tonight. I'm going to strongly encourage you to be here tonight. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do tonight. But this service, when it's wrapped up today, is going to have something that God is going to do for everyone here. Hallelujah. There is going to be a release. Glory be to God. So I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop right where I have come to right now. Bow your heads with me. Father God, I ask, oh God, that your glory be manifested in everyone's life here today. That there be a manifestation, oh God, of your authority in each life. That the work of transformation will take place for everyone. And Lord God, that you, the God who has raised us up out of darkness, will establish the fullness of your light in each one here present. Do for every son and every daughter here what no man can do for them. Even as Esther was chosen, so Lord, may you cause your sons and your daughters to be chosen by the authority of your word. I call it so done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.